if I, you know, if my memory serves correctly, you guys were up and down and running all around anyway. Was that your first NECAN event?
Yeah, first big event, yes.
Well, it's sort of like when you take a kid fishing and he catches a 6-pounder. Don't get used to it. That's as good as it gets right there. for expos, the national convention, the international convention, that kind of stuff is even bigger and better yet. But what I'd like to have you do is to kind of go around the horn with some of you who had an opportunity to experience that, and I'll be putting together the stats as best I can, and I'll get back to you. So let's start out with Debbie. Did you think it was worth your time?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's incredible to get with people that are successful, hear how they did it and what they're doing now, and glean little bits of information that you can take to the field and run with it.
Terry, I can barely hear her.
Yeah, I think she needs her gain up or something.
Can you do a star 4 for us?
Okay. So now I'm enabled, so that's good. Is that better?
Yeah, it's a little better.
You're good on now.
A little better.
Okay.
Just speak up close to the receiver and give it your gusto.
Well, here, we'll do this. I'll change to this one. How's that?
No, yeah.
Much better?
Yeah.
That's great.
Okay. What I said was that I think it's always incredible to have the opportunity to get together with people that are successful and listen to how they did it and what they're doing now and implement any ideas that we might pick up and glean along the way. And I also think it's an honor to see corporate there. Bob Richards and Ann were just wonderful. Wonderful. And Bodak, I think, is an incredible addition to our team.
Oh, yeah. And that team together is just world class.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go around the roster. There's no weakness.
Mm-mm. Nope. So those are my thoughts on the expo.
What was your the one thing that you took away that you think you could use to build a business with? Your favorite.
Oh. My favorite thing that I came away with that I could use to build the business with.
Well, yeah.
Oh, Jiminy, Jerry. I don't know. I hadn't put it in that perspective. Go to somebody else. Let me think about it for a minute.
Sounds good.
I got one.
Is that Dean?
The Shoe.
No, that's...
Oh, Shoe?
Who is that?
Okay.
That's not me.
All right, hit it, Shoe.
I think the thing that's stuck in my mind, there's quite a few notes that I've got, but the one that I haven't forgotten yet is when somebody asks you, what did you use to get rid of that discomfort, the new word on the block is, I used my wellness home technology.
Well, I think that is a very good thing to keep in the arsenal and help remind ourselves as we're talking back and forth and giving our testimonies. Because it won't take very long to switch to that, but Chu, what rings a bell when you think of that?
It opens up the whole picture to me. It's not like focused in on a back flex or a pair of insoles or a wrap or something. It's technology has opened it up to a whole big vision of a bunch of stuff to me. And of course, wellness technologies is huge.
Did you pick that up in Brody's training on Friday?
I picked it up all weekend. It was said more than there. The other guy that spoke all the time with Brody from Utah.
Oh, Nathan?
Yeah, Nathan too.
Yeah.
Nathan was saying that too outside even after the expo and stuff, and I picked it up there again, and that was huge for me.
I agree with you. I think that was the biggest thing from the whole weekend was that it's not one product, it's the whole product line.
So people can still buy products one at a time, but every time we present that they are wellness home technologies so that over time people want to complete their wellness home.
Yes, absolutely.
Very good.
I got one.
Yeah, okay.
one thing that really stuck was, you know, the fact that, you know, we need to focus on retail at the same time that we're focusing on building the business. Because a lot of times people just think about sponsoring and they don't think about the retail side, which can, especially when you're new, can give an immediate income to somebody who's just starting in the business or, you know, whatever, just trying to increase sales altogether.
Sure, because how much does a brand new direct distributor get paid if they sign somebody up and that person orders product? Daryl?
You're talking about signing up direct right that same month?
Right.
They get 10% of whatever their new rep does, I believe.
And that's called a new sponsor bonus.
Correct.
And that's good, and that's helpful, but what would they get if they were to, the person never really wanted to sign up, they just wanted some products to use, what would the percentage be?
20%. 25.
So,
isn't it, is it 20 or 25?
It's a 25% markup or 20%
okay.
discount. So
that's what it is, okay.
Whatever that turns out to be. So, yeah, the math tells us that 20-something is better than 10-something, huh?
Yeah.
Now, what percentage when Martin Anderson from over in Europe was relating back to your teams and as they build and as they grow, what percentage of the of your people that you sponsor in Niken will be below the level of four, ones, twos, or threes? So their interest level is either being retail buyers, wholesale buyers, or to make $100 to $400 a month. What percentage did you say?
Is it 80%?
Yeah, it's simply the 80-20 principle, and that is that in any population of people, they relate to getting anything done. 20% of the people do all the work, and 80% of the people are kind of there, and they add to the masses. But what we know is that over 90% of your income will come from people whose interest lies in one of those three areas, not in building a business, and building a dynasty or replacing their income. It will be those people who are there because they love the technologies, they like the information, they like to feel better, all those pieces and parts. So that being the case, we've got to make sure we make those people happy. And so with that, sell stuff to them if that's what they want. I was talking with my wife last week, and this is something we've been talking about for a while around here, in trying to provide for the rank and file base. Really, there are lots of folks who would say, those technologies are absolutely fascinating, but either because they have kind of a wrong definition of what being a distributor would be, or they have an old history with being a distributor in something else and they need to work through that. Most people would love to have the products, but not hear about the condo sales that go along with it. And so if we would just sell them stuff and they start to have product experiences, there's a concept called involve, expose, and upgrade. So they get involved, they sign up, or they get involved, they get the products, then we expose them to what else is available, and then we can upgrade them to a distributorship or something later on. Who else had something that struck them from the event? Debbie, have you fixed your daughter yet?
I'm here.
Oh, are you feeling better?
Yeah.
Your chair was empty this weekend.
Yeah, I know. I missed all you guys this weekend. I don't have a story.
It was a hoot fest, I'll tell you. Brad?
Yeah, I heard.
Yeah.
Heard.
Oh, well, sir. Did you get some work done this weekend? I thought I heard you were going to be presenting to somebody.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was, but it fell through.
Oh, not me.
Well, that's an offshoot, huh?
What's that?
That's an offshoot, huh?
Yeah, they want to reschedule for another time. I had three ladies that were going to, but they had another plan, and so we're going to reschedule in July when I get back. I'm sitting at the airport right now, so.
Oh, okay.
There is a couple of things, you know, at least one other thing that I liked about, you know, the expo. Ann went over kind of a breakdown as far as, you know, how to get to silver, you know, at least, you know, looking into July, and you know, what to do. And I thought that that was really good because, you know, when she asked if people really knew how to get there, a lot of people didn't raise their hands. And that, to me, was real, you know, it was nice to know a direction on how to get there, because that's basically the duplication that they're talking about. And having just, you know, like something they went over was going over one particular way of doing it. So it does keep it simple for people to do, rather than everybody trying to, you know, invent the wheel again.
True. Good. Well, let's see. I'm looking up all my books here now and trying to find our lists of things. But did anybody spend any time talking with the Salt Lake City group, Bernie and Nathan and some of those guys, about the effectiveness of the ABC guide?
I didn't do that.
Okay, Melanie and Dean, do you know what the ABC guide is?
The actual book you're talking about, the little flip chart book?
Yep. And that's good, because we covered it a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And you would use it when?
When you're given basically a presentation, when you're actually going over the company itself after you've, you know, introduced the opportunity and asked if they wanted any more information.
Yep, great. And some of the behind-the-scenes questions and the answers that were occurring were relating to how effective that little puppy has become. And for most of us, we just got through reading Dare to Dream and Work to Win. And does anybody remember what he said about business professionals who come into network marketing? What do they try to do with the simple idea?
Reinvent it.
Reinvent it. Yeah.
And why do they do that?
Because they think it can't be that simple.
Yeah.
And habitually, what do they do at work if they've got a presentation to do?
What was that, Gary?
You know, people at work in their normal everyday jobs, if they have a presentation to do, they're going to try to make it as fancy as possible, right?
Right.
And I've been listening to a CD or it's actually an old tape, and it's the author of the book, All You Can Do Is All You Can Do, But All You Can Do Is Enough, a guy named A.L. Williams. And anybody know anything about that company?
Nope. No.
Like, it was an insurance company started by a high school football coach that basically, he found that life insurance, if you bought the whole life product with a forced savings that was low interest and high commissions for the salespeople, would not pay out. So let's say if you had $15,000 of whole life coverage if you died, for the same price on term coverage, you could get $150,000 in coverage. So like 10 times more coverage. And so it drove him crazy. He started selling that stuff. And pretty soon he couldn't find anybody to underwrite the stuff, so he started his own company. Within 6 years, his company was the largest insurance company in the world, bigger than Prudential and New York Life combined.
Wow.
And he was just a regular guy, and he did it through network marketing. The problem with network marketing in A.L. Williams was that everybody had to have a securities license to do it.
So if you can imagine that all of your people that you began to recruit had to go through this extensive schooling, a year or more, to even become one of the agents, and they still were they created, until Microsoft came along, they created more millionaires than any company in history.
Wow.
And this guy, when he was telling the story in Dare to Dream, Work to Win, was just an average guy saying, if you just take average people and you give them a shot, and those people go to work and they work hard, they're going to get the ability to really stand up and deliver and make something of themselves. There was a really good point I was going to make with this relating to it, but it took so long to just explain where it came from that if it comes up again, I'll probably try to remember it.
Maybe it was the thought that Nikon could have 10,000 new millionaires.
Yeah, that's probably it. No, now that I look down at my lap, because I've got the ABC guide here, somebody was recruiting someone last week, one of our distributors, and I guess it was Brody's people, and they sat down and went through the flip chart, the ABC guide. And the guy goes, well, that's just like A.L. Williams. That's how they made all their money, was they just sit at the table and flip the thing over.
Oh.
Because people didn't have to know very much. They just let the flip chart do the thing. And what they're finding down in Salt Lake City, in Brody's group, and he's now been able to start 5 markets around the country this year without being there more than maybe 2 or 3 presentations. The presentations take 20 minutes, 10 to 20 minutes to go through the flip chart. They lay the flip chart on the table. They ask the prospect to read the material, and then they basically will say, what jumps out to you on that page? And you get the prospect kind of to share what's important to them. And they're building a scenario of things that they like in their own mind, as well as you understanding what they like, what they need, what their life wants to change towards. And once they began to
be doing.
Yep, exactly. They're doing exactly the way this thing is written. And what they began to find, in one case, they did the presentation, Nathan did a presentation. The guy he did it to, after the second one, says, I can do that. Give me that flip chart. So he went out and did one to a girl, and she said, can I borrow the flip chart? She'd only seen it once. And he goes, I guess. I don't know why you would, but I guess you can borrow the flip chart. So she took it, and by the time he got back to her a couple days later, she'd already presented it 4 times and had 2 people that were ready to sign up.
Huh. Wow.
Now, a lot of people try to get too sophisticated, but if you just do that, it's amazing. Yes?
I talked to my sister-in-law about that, and she said it to her. Here's her, and I probably just an objection and not wanting to do it yet or not seeing it, but she was saying it just seems cheesy, it just seems like it's so unprofessional. And I said, well, it's worked for a couple of groups and it's doing really well. I said, it's just easy and it makes it really simple for people to duplicate it, but I don't think, maybe she just doesn't see the whole picture. I don't know.
Well, she's coming from a lifetime of being prepared to do more and more and more incredible presentations. And if you really think about it, for some of us old people, if we go back and look at college papers that we presented, the third graders nowadays are wailing on what we could do in college. And one that shocked the dickens out of me was, I went back, my daughter was going to take a chemistry class, and so I went to look something up in one of my old chemistry books. And every illustration in the chemistry book was hand-drawn in pencil.
Wow.
So that a third grader with a Microsoft publisher was light years ahead of this $250 chemistry book that I had when I was in college.
Okay.
That's how far we've come. So it's their belief that they need to have this flashy presentation. Here's what you have to have people understand. She could go around and come up with an unbelievable presentation.
Uh-huh.
And it could be so amazingly done with dancing, belly dancer stuff, the little rings, the little symbols on your fingers, and the mysterious veil across her face and stuff like that. Lightning flashes throughout the course of it, and then she breaks into song and does the whole deal.
Right.
How reproducible is that?
Not very.
Not very. I'm not doing belly dancing, baby.
Oh, really?
Come on, now.
So it's not reproducible for you, anyway.
Not enough wine on the planet.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
So the key is, if you can get people to duplicate it within 2 hours, and you make millions off of making average people capable without teaching them for months, would it be okay to have a dumb presentation?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so hard to break in people's mindset. Incredibly hard, and that's why when it all came out, people kind of used it for a while and then backed off and ditched it.
Well, once it's explained to you, though, it makes some more sense, you know, so you'll get back after it and stuff. When you just buy that thing and you kind of out there flaunting it and stuff, you all of a sudden get confused and stuff, and maybe the having them read it is really the secret that nobody knew about.
Well, that's so true. At first, it started where you did the presentation, and it kind of worked.
Yeah.
But everybody thought, that's the cheesiest dang thing I ever saw. Then people would memorize it and go through it, but that prospect didn't think they could do it so easily.
Yeah,
then,
true.
Some people would read it to the prospect, and still do today, and I still do some of that at points, and I'll ask them what jumps out at you. But the ultimate simplification was, if you have the prospect just kind of scan the page and pick out the things that are talking points that are salient to them, can you see, Brad, that doesn't seem, that if your sister or sister-in-law did understood that it was, you get to choose the topics we talk about, that's a little different than flipping a presentation and reading it.
Right. Well, I remember the first presentation. I mean, that's what you did. You used the chart.
And that is where you go with the second part, which is the wellness preview. If it was done like Sherry Dorsey did it on Thursday night and does on her video, that's what they're doing in Texas. And I want you to just think about it. Is there anybody in the local area where you live who's within a 2-year period broke 16 platinums?
No.
Anybody remotely close?
No.
In a program where they do nothing more than just changing people, but doing the same presentation every week, they broke 16 platinums between two people, or one person, actually, Terry Latham, down in Texas, and his far-flung groups around the country. So the proof is really in the pudding, and what's interesting about all of us is that our opinions, when we come into this, we've got these very significant opinions about how well it'll work, but like one of the famous trainers in network marketing happens to say, she says, I want you to either listen to me or not. She said, it comes down to this, weigh your ego with your bank account, see which one's heavier.
Right.
Get over it. Because you either are, you know, you probably aren't even looking at this. If you're so wealthy and so well-to-do and you just got it all down that you don't need to change anything. But if you are looking at it because whatever you're doing isn't quite working, then you need to pay attention to it. It's like the guy that was given a chainsaw because the modern era had come on and this guy had been chopping trees down in the forest and somebody just felt bad for him and gave him a chainsaw. So he came back a week later and more worn out than he ever was and broke and nothing working and goes to the store clerk and the store clerk goes, I don't know, I don't see anything, let me try this. Pulls on the cord and it goes, and then the guy jumps back and says, what's that noise? And basically he'd never been able to start the chainsaw and he was banging it against the tree. So in our limited life experience out there, we may be just taking this thing called network marketing and banging it against the tree and saying, based on how I used to know how to do things, this doesn't look like it will work. Or you hand a caveman a car key and he's just going to go, yeah, like, that's going to get me anywhere.
Right.
But you show it to him and it's going to make a big difference. So, Brad, that is a really good point, and it's exactly what we go through. In fact, Terry Latham has pointed out on some of our calls that people who have a lot of sophisticated background and that sort of thing take longer to get started usually than those who don't, because they have more to unlearn.
Right.
They've had so much life success with doing it a certain way, they have to unlearn. Now, other people who don't have so much life success, they might just say, well, fill me in, because I sure haven't been able to. And they'll just smoke this, and they'll just pick it up and take it.
Okay.
Well, let's see. This week's topic of discussion is the hotel preview. And one of the things that really became important at the event this weekend was making certain that you get a chance to listen to the Texas calls. Is there anybody here that that got a chance to listen to the Texas call this last week?
I did.
And what do you get a sense of those people who are starting to get a clue on that call?
You're big time.
And most of those people have been in less than 4 months in NECAN in general. Sometimes that's a little hard to imagine, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're basically following the same format. And so what those are there for is so everybody in the world can learn from the same group at the same time. So the terminology is the same, the teaching is the same, and it's all controlled. So that makes total sense, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What did you pick up from the call? Is there anything that your recollection brings up? It's always a good idea to keep notes on those so we can discuss them when we get back here.
Okay. Yeah, I listened to it on...
I listened, but I forget.
And I went to Expo and forgot.
The CDs and the books and...
Yeah.
Okay, then let's go through our books. And, Becky?
Yes?
Did you get any of those while you were recuperating?
You know what stands out in the book for me this week was the jelly donut thing. The reinforcing and the guy who kept telling his kids, oh, whatever he said about how do you know that I love you or whatever it was. And he just felt like he kept filling the jelly donut and reinforcing things. I don't know why that sticks out.
And for those who are listening in the gallery, I'm going to help out with the analogy. How did that sort of go so that
it made
sense?
Wait, I have to go to my book. Sorry. It says, okay. I was saying goodnight to my 11-year-old daughter. We sat on her bed while we talked, snuggled, and laughed. As I got up to leave, I looked directly into her eyes and did it again. I held her face in my hands and said, hey, I've got a question for you. What is it like to be 11 years old and loved by your dad? She sighed and grinned and gave a typical response for an 11-year-old. It's nice, Dad. With that, I told her I loved her, stroked her face, kissed her goodnight, and I was gone. This is why do I keep asking a question that my daughters pretend bores them? Because each time I do it, I am putting jelly into the donut. I'm installing and reinforcing a belief that allows them to close out one day and begin another with the fresh knowledge that they are loved. No matter how old we are, these are strong bookends for a day.
Does it seem odd that what we do for a living is to work in this kind of an arena where we affirm people?
A little bit.
So many things we do in our lives, we have to carry the whole weight. We're under deadlines, we're trying to prepare things, and we're doing it against people who are somewhat adversarial. This is such a different game. Well, we affirm people till they believe in themselves. Once they believe in themselves and they've got good skills and they've got good successes, they can then go off and be about their world in such a way that they can now be an influence on the next generation. What a way to make a living.
Yeah.
Alrighty, let's go through our...
I also like, Jerry, the part where they were talking about people want to be their own boss, but then they're not hard on themselves like a boss. And some people don't get anything done when they don't have a boss telling them what to do. So it reminds me to, you know, stay... You got to stay on yourself. And the other part that I liked was just do it. You know, the Nike slogan. You know, entrepreneurs and people in network marketing, just do it. You know, there's no excuse. You just do it. And so I like that.
And so you rise to a challenge. And the more the challenge is kind of focused on, and it seems maybe it's difficult, but the challenge in itself has its own reward, right?
Well, yeah, and you know, and I like to think, you know, being an athlete and being, you know, self-disciplined and all that, but really, in all reality, we all have our own laziness, and so sometimes, you know, I don't work out as much as I should, and I don't work the business as much as I should, and I need to be a harder boss on myself.
Is there some old Just saying, Debbie, that the things that really you remember most and cherish the most were the easiest, or were they... ones that you spent the most time working on? I don't know how that thing goes.
I don't know how it goes either, Jerry.
But to you in your life, when you're in your work life or something that you're trying to accomplish, have you found it that you tend to believe or tend to cherish memories of things that were more difficult to accomplish than the ones that just came easy?
Crackling.
I think so, yeah.
Someone was playing the spoons. very talented, too.
A talented spoon player.
So, Debbie, that's kind of an interesting thing. We get all kinds of people with all kinds of different motivations. And so we got a coach here that's got an athletic background that says, the tougher it is, the more I want it. How would you describe if something seems stressed or difficult? How would you describe, does that turn up your desire engine, or does it overwhelm your desire engine?
Like if I run into a person that is contrary or something to that effect? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, or no, if somebody says, we're going to go on a journey, it's going to be the toughest thing you ever did, but boy, when we get to the end of it, it is such a tremendous rewarding experience. Does that inspire you, or does that make you say, you know, that sounds a little bit tough for me?
No, it doesn't inspire me. What I do, if somebody were to tell me that the journey was going to be tough, I break it down into little pieces of journey that aren't so hard.
Do you like the easy way?
I will make it easy for myself.
It seems like every time you turn around, there's somebody just walking up to you saying, hey, Debbie, I want to sign up. Is that inspiring to you?
That would be in the short term, but 5 years later when you're standing on the stage, you know, most of the time people say the things that were the hardest struggles are the ones that really built my character and were the most meaningful to me.
Yeah. I'm not suggesting that I shy away from the hard struggle. I change my perspective on the hard struggle to make them little bites that are more easily swallowed.
Okay.
Sure, that's a good strategy, which means that you probably can certainly be aware of taking a shot at it more easily than somebody who just senses, well, that's just too big, I'm overwhelmed. They wouldn't even try.
Yeah, oh yeah, I always try it. I just try it a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have a more positive reinforcement for the whole project. All the way along.
You completed a step, basically.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good. Has anyone got something in your business that you want to kind of throw out? Any questions that the group can work on that will help to accelerate your movement towards silver, or toward reestablishing silver if you're already there. Well, let me ask it this way. Melanie and Dean, do you have a clear picture of your path to silver now?
Yes.
And how do you see it so that you could pass the vision to somebody else who wants to see it?
Basically, talk to a bunch of people, keep it simple, and keep the enthusiasm. Because something that the book really keyed on for me was it went directly into the three fuels. And when anybody gets into anything, you know, network marketing, the first thing that they start off with is complete enthusiasm. The enthusiasm always has to be kept, because if the fire, you know, runs out of enthusiasm, or they stop and rest, a lot of times at that level, they, you know, they will not get back in. They'll basically get off the track. So just helping people get to the, at least, you know, to the commitment level, and then getting to conviction, you know, that is where you want to have your team, because at that point you're developing leaders, and you're just continually going out and helping people. And really, you know, like I said, the biggest thing is talking to people, you know, eliminating that fear of rejection, and just getting out and offering something that you know is the best thing out there.
Well, one person that I've neglected checking on here is Peggy. Are you with us? She's on the other call. So that's good, Dean. How about you, Brad? What's your path to silver look like?
Well, like the book says, and every other book that we've read, you know, you have to give it consistent effort. You have to make it duplicatable, which means simple. And you have to let those people that are in realize, and yourself, that you have to be a pack horse and not a race horse. Just give it enough time, and it'll come around. So, I mean, you can drill that into those people that are actually trying to build a business. Just be patient, make it simple as possible, and talk to as many people as you can. It'll work out for you.
Hey, Jerry.
Jerry.
We lost him.
Did we lose Jerry?
He went away again.
No, he
Jerry.
Lost us. Okay, did that work?
That worked. Yeah,
there you go.
The other thing, can I add something, Jerry?
Yeah.
You can never want something more than somebody else wants it themselves.
Right.
So you have to watch. You can't overwhelm somebody. You have to keep it at a level that they're wanting.
And have you ever seen that happen in real life?
Yes. Well, it's called vomiting Negan.
You'll take it away, close. Just give them a little bit and then take it away.
Was that a comment to us or the dog?
No.
Yeah, well, it's one of the same.
Oh, that wasn't nice.
Well, that's kind of the way I did it in the beginning. I just puked on everybody, and I told them that's what you need, and that's what you're going to get. And
took it away.
On and on. I was pretty bad at it in the beginning. Well, then you can see how just trying to elicit from them some response on that page in the flip chart gets them talking about what they want to talk about, which kind of clues you in. Now, here's an example. If you were to call up and I'd say, "Shoo, how's it going?" And he says, "Well, I don't know, I don't have much going on." And, "Well, I thought you were trying some new stuff. You're really excited." "Well, I don't know. Yeah. Seems like the same old thing to me. And so I'd say, great, come over on Thursday night. I'll see you there. You see, he kind of walked into it.
Yeah.
But if on the other hand, I called up and said, Shu, I want you to come over on Thursday night and have a great meeting. He's going to say, oh, you know what? The cow fell in the ditch last week, just got all this fungus all over, and I got to wash the cow.
Okay.
Come up with some obnoxious thing at the last second to just like go, oh, dude, oh, I got to think of something. If I don't think of something, I'm screwed. So then he makes an excuse just to get out of it. So when we can get them to talking using the talking papers, then they'll walk their way into it, and they'll start making their own arguments, and they'll start standing on positions and all that sort of thing. Well, they can't get out of it now. Isn't it brilliant?
Entrapment.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So let's see. Becky, what's your path to silver look like?
Sparkles. That was funny. You guys were supposed to laugh.
I couldn't hear you.
I said sparkles.
Awesome.
Funny.
Yeah, well, that goes along with, you put that together with belly dance.
I'm listening to everybody, and this is really my first network marketing experience. I've only experienced this stuff through my mom before, and never firsthand. So I'm making some mistakes along the way, don't get me wrong. But, like, I had dinner tonight with somebody who... I asked him what his goals were in life, and when he told me, I asked him how he was going to get there. And last week, he bought a pair of insoles from me. So once I asked him how he was going to get there, and he said he wasn't quite sure, I kind of changed the subject and asked him how his insoles were making him feel, if they were making him feel any better, and he kind of laughed, and he said, you know, they're still sitting in the little box thing. I haven't even put them in my shoes yet. So I, over the course of the conversation, got him to come to Thursday night's preview. But, you know, the whole point is I didn't try to sell the business, and I took a different approach, and I think it just might have worked, and I'm not quite sure how that happened. But I'll get there by trial and error.
It sounded like it worked to me, Becky.
I'll struggle the whole way, but I'll get there.
I love the innocence of that approach. I love the innocence of that approach.
Yeah.
I am
that was awesome,
older,
actually.
Yeah, it really is. I'm older and have done it a bunch. And so...
Well, you're my biggest
I'm one of the analyzers, right?
Tool.
I'm one of the business people that was going to remake this wheel so it was going to roll faster. And it's rolling just fine. Just fine.
That was totally cool. So what would we do next? And Dean, what would your family come up with on saying, well, now you're in good shape, maybe this would be the next step?
What? I didn't catch that. What are you referring to?
Well, she's now got this guy. She asked him if he's been using the mag steps, and he hasn't. How could you... sort of turn up the heat on that? What would be some comment or something you could do to make it more likely that he would want to really use those things?
Well, why did he, just out of curiosity, was there a particular reason? I mean, was something going on? I mean, I don't know his full story, so I don't know.
His story is really, actually, he knows Kathy, and so his story is, those insoles are making her feel better and giving her more energy, and so he kind of got sucked in through her.
Okay, and I would say at that point, you know, well, you should probably put those on because you know what they're going to do. They're going to give you more energy, and they're going to make you feel a lot better.
Yeah.
And I would give encouragement to try to, you know, I mean, obviously, either that or you're going to drive over there, you're going to cut them to size, and you're going to throw them in his shoes.
Yeah. That's just exactly it. And I was pretty close to saying that tonight, and then I didn't say it. So I didn't want to seem pushy.
I would take a different approach after Gold Training. After Gold Training, I would take a different approach and ask him, why did you buy those insoles? And let him tell me. Let him tell me his
bordering on shame and shaming somebody works really good.
Yeah.
Especially girls are very, very good at it for guys. It's just you could shame them really easily. So that's a good one. What else might we come up with as a way to really sweeten the pot and have somebody just can't wait to get them on? It's the one thing that people use to make a lot of money in this business.
Billy, there's something you're looking for specific?
Yep.
No, I'd probably redo a strength test with him.
That's an option.
I don't think he's ever done a strength test, actually.
So you got to shock him out of complacency. That's what we use the strength test for. Is for him to go,
right.
By golly, that's the weirdest thing I ever saw. Because if it's just a Dr. Scholl's odor, golly.
Right.
So that is
the only reason I never used a strength test on him is because he was so overwhelmed at how they were helping Kathy that I didn't really feel like I needed to.
No, that's valid. But is there some...
What is it, Jerry?
Brad?
I don't know. Like I said, I would just ask the question. That's what I'm asking. What is it? What would you...
What would you do? Yeah, what would you do?
Well, if it's like Dennis Williams, when he first got into Nikan, I don't know if anybody knows it, but Dennis was given a mattress pad months before he ever got going. He put it on his bed, and about 12 seconds after getting in bed, he said, "Get off my bed. It's got bumps. This is the stupidest thing ever." It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Second time he did it, he had purchased it because he could see that there was going to be a potentially huge return on investment. He wanted to make it work. So if you're going to represent a company that's bringing these new computer things into the country and be at the forefront of a brand new computer industry and they've never had them before, sure, you push the button, are you trying to prove it won't work?
Okay.
You're trying to prove just the opposite. You're hoping, man, I hope this thing does work. So, because if it works, we're Ma sell the farm because we're going on a big old motorhome trip and working. So that's the area in which the people who make a lot of money, they start with that.
What do they start with again?
The idea that I said, Brad, I want you to review this stuff because coming into North America, doing $2 billion a year in Japan alone, it hits like we think it'll hit over here, have the ability to become first-time investors in this thing. And whether or not it works for you, I can't tell, but we do know that if it's doing $2 billion over there, predictions are it'll go to $10 billion over here, and we can get as big a percentage as we can whack off of that and try them. You taking a deal with that, Jerry? Oh. Did you guys understand any of that?
Little bit.
No.
Part of it.
It was basically if you set them up to really believe that it's a huge potential if you invest in this, they're going to want to make it work.
Right.
Right? And they're going to test it before you ever leave the room. But if it's just sort of a curiosity deal, yeah, you know, maybe you're going to have a experience, but I don't really hurt as bad as my friend did that I bought it for, and she was kind of cute, so I bought it from her, and, you know, that's not very much motivation. If he thinks that if this works, the best-kept secret in America, I made $17,000 in 6 months doing this.
So I need to start doing things like telling them about the business and how much it did in Japan, and...
I would say if you are... to build a huge business with a return on investment, start listening to people who talk about
and try to emulate that.
All right.
Yeah, otherwise, it would be like going to Walmart and it's really cool with kitchen. Just going home and sell it to everybody. And that is the coolest thing I've ever seen to go buy a Walmart.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to go, what?
Yeah.
From here to there. So we actually put this on, get taller and better, and then say, hey, back and throttle a person even to you and said, is there a business associated with this? It happens, not very dang off.
Okay.
Well, we've come to the end of our call. Get the extra points for knowing what they're reading in the tape is next week. I'm sorry? You're breaking
up. We are reading chapters 10 through 12 in Dare to Dream, and the CD is Live Life to the Max and Going Platinum with Peony by Sherry Dorsey.
He totally gets the point.
You're awesome.
You're awesome, girl.
Well, go out there and get the Max.
What else?
Do it again.
Do it again. Do it again. Dare to Dream, Work to Win, chapters 10 through 12.
Right.
Live Life to the Max by Liz Corker and Getting Platinum by Sherry Dorsey.
Okay. Next week.
Okay.
Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.